If old Duke sits there with you, there ain't going to be room for Granny.
Oh, that's all right, Paul. Granny ain't gone.
Who says she ain't?
She says she ain't.
That's right, Uncle Jed. She's just sitting on the back porch in her rocker, and she says that's as close to California as you're going to get her.
We'll see about that. Dang if I ain't got me the muliest women.
Church Jelly, now it's Granny. We ain't never going to get there.
Now, what's all this nonsense about you ain't going to California?
Ain't no license to it. If the good Lord had a wanted me in California, he'd have put me in California.
Well, he's just getting around to it. Book says he moves in mysterious ways.
Well, if he moves me, I'll go. But you and Big Jethro ain't a budging me.
Our story today continues in Genesis. Michael is on vacation, but he will be back next week. And this begins the first of 4 weeks with Abram, also Father Abraham. I'm reading from Genesis 12 about a move. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and all the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray, please? Father, we ask you to speak to us today and show us the way you would have us go. Amen. Many of you already know this about me. I don't like change. My family will tell you that I don't even like change when the change doesn't matter. If we're leaving and we decide we are going to leave at 9 and we don't leave until 9:15, it ruins my morning. When I travel, I like to take my own 3 little pillows with me because I already know how I like my pillows and I don't want to change my pillows even for one night. I don't like it when I come in on Sunday morning and there is no coffee. I really don't like it. I don't like it at the house if we always keep our little soap on the left side of the sink. Then when you clean the sink, put it back on the left side of the sink. Why would you change that? After over 21 years of marriage, just this week, I again tried to sign my name, Kimberly J. Zimmerman, instead of my married name, Seitz. Obviously, change is hard for me. I need therapy over this. It seems that change is hard for the church, too. You can't be with any group in the church too long before you hear those famous words, "We've never done it that way before." I think when we join the church and we take church language 101, the first phrase we learn is, "Jesus saves." And the next phrase we learn is, "We've never done it that way before." It only took the Roman church about 400 years and Vatican II before many of the changes that Luther and the other reformers asked for finally happened. 400 years to get some of it done. I think it's safe to say the church does not like change either. Brother Jeff told me that the only people who really like change are wet babies. But when I was changing babies, even they didn't like it that much. So what must it have been like for Abram to hear these words, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you." God says, "Go, and it'll be good for you." But all I would have heard was, "Change. You want me to what? You want me to leave my 3 pillows and my soap on the left? You want me to leave mama and daddy and move from this place? Are you out of your mind?" And can you imagine what it must have been like for Abram to explain all this to his beautiful wife, Sarai? You know, the Bible doesn't say one word about God telling Sarai about this move. Even God is afraid to tell her. So he makes Abram do it. Can you just see it? Baby, we need to save some of these boxes. We need to start packing some things up because we're moving again. Can you hear her? What are you talking about? You already moved me once. You said God was bringing us here, and now you want me to move again? Is this another midlife thing? If you think I'm getting on a camel with your 75-year-old self and moving again, you're out of your mind. I think Abram and Sarai were just like us. They were settled, and they were comfortable. They had their little routines. They had their gym membership. They had their favorite coffee shops. They went to Sonic on Tuesday when the burgers were half price. They knew where they were. They knew all their neighbors. All their neighbors knew them. True, Abe and Sarai didn't have children tying them down, but I think they were still settled and dug in. I don't think this move, this change, was any easier for them than it would have been for us. But that's sort of hidden in this story that's written so simply that there are no details of any doubts or struggles. In the first three verses, God says, go, and it'll be good for you, and it'll be good for others. And verse 4 says simply, so Abram went. Well, what happened between verses 3 and 4? Do you think anything happened? Do you think there was a time lag? Do you think maybe Abraham argued a little bit? How many times do you think God said go before Abram finally went? Verse 1 says, the Lord had said to Abram. So it was a while before Abram actually went. But he did go. And the story doesn't tell us about his arguments or his doubts, because I guess that doesn't really matter. All that matters is that one day he finally sucked up enough strength or courage or trust or something to head off. The text says Abram went with nothing but his wife and their nephew Lot, who maybe was kind of a son to them. They went with just their stuff and their servants. It was a long, long time before Abraham and Sarah finally realized that when they went, God went with them. Now, I don't like changes at all, but I know that God specializes in them. God takes Abraham, this childless idol worshiper, if we read in Joshua, that's what Abram was. God took him and moved him and made him a pillar of the faith and the father of God's people. God took Moses, who stuttered, and made him powerful in speech and deed, the book of Acts tells us. God made David, the shepherd boy, into a king. Peter, the weak, into Peter, the rock. John, the son of thunder, into the apostle of love. God made Paul, the persecutor, into a missionary and a martyr. God took the crucified Christ and made him risen in glory and power. In every case, God called, offered a different plan, a change. And when these faithful people stepped forward with God, God used them to bless others. In each case, these people were brave enough to take a new path. They made a change at God's bidding. You know, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always be just exactly what we are. But with God, things can be different. I don't like change, but I don't want to stay like I am. I do want to grow. I want to change and become the person God made me to be. And the liberating message of this story is that you don't have to be what you've always been. You don't have to live like you've always lived. You don't have to stay where you are. Because God gives us a choice. Instead of just being dissatisfied or anxious or unsettled about our lives, waiting for something, somewhere, sometime to change, what if we listened to God and dared to do what God says do, dared to speak when God says speak, dared to go when God says go, dared to move and change and try something different just because God said to. In this story, God is the one who does all the work. The story says, God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will protect you. I will make my blessing into a blessing for others. God is doing all the work. And the only thing Abram had to do, the only thing we have to do, is to go. So, verse 4 says, Abram went as the Lord had told him. And oh, what blessings have come from that, that we should be called children of God. See, we here today who believe in Jesus, who follow the same God Abram followed, are proof of God's faithfulness to Abram. I know that God is calling some of you today. Some of you He's calling from comfortable places into new ministries and missions. Some of you He's calling from painful places into new lands of fruitfulness. Whatever it is that God is calling you to, I know this. We are all going to have our excuses, our doubts. We have our own schedules, our own plans, our own timetables, our own resistance to change. Why is it we will worry about our marriages, our kids, our finances? We'll worry about our health. We'll be anxious about our future, and yet we'll keep doing the same things we've always done. That is one definition of insanity, to keep doing the same things and expect a different outcome. But what if God is asking you maybe to stop worrying about your marriage and start working on it? What if God is asking you to make a new start, to face a fear, to be honest with yourself, to give it another chance? What if God is calling you to the mission field or ministry? What if this time God actually wants you to follow through, to kick a habit, to get the treatment, to confess your sin? What if God is asking you to dare to believe that He really is calling you right now? What if God is asking you to say you're sorry and to not look back and to give a little more and to reach out and to reach up? What if you live the life that God already has for you? What if? I think it'd be good for you. I think it'd be good for others too. Because that's always how God works it. Blessed to be a blessing. What are you holding on to that God wants to change? Whatever it is, I pray today you can just leave that here and step forth with God into a new place and a new land. Amen. Would our servers come? This is the day we celebrate Holy Communion. A time when God says, come. Come to this new table. Come to this new place. Come to this God who offers us a new hope. In this church, you don't have to be a member of this church or any church anywhere. We just ask that you come. You're welcome at the Lord's table. So after our servers are served, if you will come by the center aisle and return to your seats by the outside aisles. Let's pray. Father, who came to show us what life could be like if we lived it your way. For Jesus, who showed us, and for the Spirit who empowers us, we give you thanks and praise, and we ask you now to bless these symbols of your presence with us and your sacrifice for us, that we may live your way in the week ahead. Amen. Would you please stand? I want you to know that you don't have to be like you've always been. Would you listen to God this week and step out when God says step? Go now in His love and His power. Amen.